Isaiah 53, chapter 53, we've been reading from. We read from the King James. Starting in verse 3, it says, "He," talking about, this is referring to Jesus, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And we had spent some time looking at the word grief and sorrows. This word grief talks about sickness, or refers to sickness. And sorrows, it says he carried our sorrows, refers to pain physically, but it also means pain mentally, grief, anxiety, stress, and sorrows. So what is this saying? He carried it away. He carried this. He took the weight of every sorrow, anxiety that could have been perpetrated on mankind, and he took that. He redeemed us from it. So we spent a lesson just saying that, talking about, or two lessons, that our emotions have been redeemed. Jesus redeemed us, these causes that cause us to experience some of these emotional, I call them ups and downs, or issues that we face in life that cause us to feel a certain way. He redeemed us from it. What does that mean? He redeemed us from the power or the cause that causes it. He redeemed us from that. So that cause doesn't have the power to make you, as they say, lose it, or to be angry. It does not have the power to control you. You may have feelings of anger, but you have the power within you to control it. Jesus, if we, you don't have to turn over there, but Hebrews 4, 15, it says that Jesus was what? Tempted. Hebrews, 15, verse 15, chapter 4, it says he was tempted in all ways like we are, yet without sin. So he experienced anger. He experienced depression. He experienced anxiety. He experienced everything that we do and have, and he overcame it. You know he overcame it because it said, yet without sin. So he didn't miss it. He never missed it. And we know he operated as a man. He is and was God, but he operated as a man, anointed with the Holy Ghost. And so he was able to confront every emotional thing that we face, yet without sin. And he overcame it, right? So that's good news for us, that he bore every negative emotion for us. He bore it. And we can overcome it. And he showed us how to, right? He showed us how to do that. So, and of course, we know this just from medical things, that if you open the door to anxiety and stress and worry and anger and all of these things, it can cause, or can begin to create, sickness in the body. It certainly can. Our bodies were never designed to carry the load of that. Jesus did. And so this word peace, you know, when we talk about peace, we're talking more than just something that helps our emotions or goes beyond our emotions. We're talking about something that's shalom. If you look up that word, it actually means complete soundness, prosperity, wholeness, and it includes our emotions. So when you have shalom, you have God's peace. You have the peace of God, which was, and it taught, what does it say? Passeth all what? Understanding. You really can't understand this peace, right? So, continuing on this, he redeemed us, so that means that he shed what? His blood, and he made, because of his blood, he made his grace available to us because of the redemption of Christ. And so it's based on the blood of Jesus and his grace that we have access to this shalom. And how are we going to access this grace? We access this grace through faith. So by faith, we access grace, or the grace of God, that will cause the peace of God to be released in our lives. But we're going to have to act upon it. That's the key. We're going to have to act upon it in order for that to benefit us. 2 Peter 3:18, it says we're to do what? Grow in grace. So we receive this grace, but we're going to have to grow in grace. And it says, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when we talk about grace, we're talking about, if we're going to grow in grace, you know, what does the Spirit of God refer to? The Spirit of grace. It's, we talk about grace, it's his divine influence upon our hearts. We talk about grace. And it's not only just his divine influence upon our heart, but also our mind and emotions. So we're supposed to, as the scripture says, grow in grace. Hallelujah. And, you know, when we were just referring to Hebrews 4:15 and verse 16, it continues and says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that what? You may obtain mercy and find grace in what? To help in the time of need. Now let's turn over to Philippians 4:6, which we were just reading from the daily devotional. So this says, in the King James, it says, be careful for nothing. Well, if the Lord said be careful for nothing, then that means we can be. It says be anxious for nothing. That means we can, right? Otherwise, it wouldn't have been in Scripture. But in everything, by prayer, and you notice what Brother Hagin was sharing first. He said people are doing not the first part, they're being anxious, and then they're praying, right? See the order here? It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. So they're coming in prayer, just like, you know, scared prayers don't work, right? So in other words, that's what he's saying. Don't come anxious with your prayer. Come in faith. It says here, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what happens when you do that? And the peace of God, the shalom of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds, how? Through Christ Jesus. And verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are what? A good report. What does it say? What? Whatsoever is what? Of a what? A good report. Say good report. You know, I look up that word report. It says reputable. Oh. That's a big deal. That means something. Reputable means something you hold in esteem, right? So what are you holding in esteem? You holding that anxiety as reputable? Are you holding that anger as in esteem, meaning that I give more weight to that than the Word of God? That's really what we're saying, right? So whatsoever is what? Things are of a good report, something reputable. If there's any virtue, if there's any praise, do what? Think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I like some of these other translations. There's so many. The Weis translation, it says, stop worrying about even one thing. The Passion translation, it says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. The New American Bible, dismiss all anxiety from your minds. That means do it. The Norley, so do not worry about anything. Another translation says, do not fret over anything. So don't worry about it. That means we can do it. Amen. That means we're not to worry and bring that request before God. Say, God, you see this. I thank you that you're in me. And I thank you that I've cast the care of this over upon you. I offer up my prayer and supplication. Now I thank you that you've got it. You know, I think about that sometimes. You know, we look at this, and when it says here, that these two verses, 4 and 6, remind me in some ways, as I was thinking about this coming out, it reminds me in some ways of 1 John 5, 14 and 15. If we ask anything, what? According to his will. What did he say? Said he what? He hears us, and if we know he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. So this says here, don't be anxious, right? He says, now I'll offer up my prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let your request be made known. He told me to do it, so that means it's his will. That means he hears me. And now if I know he hears me, I know I have it. Right? I know I have the petition desired of him. And what does this also say? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Yeah, but it's still bothering me. Well, do it again. Right? You know, it's like somebody who goes, I went to the gym and I'm still overweight. Keep going. Keep going. It ain't going to just stop because you went once. Keep going. You know, sometimes we give up too easy. We just stop. We give up. It ain't working. Come on. Come on now. He said, and the peace of God shall do what? Passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If he said that, and he said it's his will to do this, and he hears us, then I have the answers. How do we release peace? How do we release shalom? This way right here. He said, don't be anxious. Don't fret about these things that come. You know, the devil will just keep bombarding your mind with thoughts, and you have a choice to make at this point. You can say, oh, no. You're a liar and the father of lies. And the one who's the father of spirits is without variableness or shadow of turning. He doesn't change. He doesn't lie. And he said that if I do these things, the peace of God will garrison about my heart and mind. So I command you. You know, I hear... I like sometimes when I hear Billy Brim and some of the books that we have in the bookstore that she's recommended, the one that she has. We have a little mini book in there. But she talks about how every day when she gets up, she takes her rightful place in Christ. She said, what do I mean? I vocalize, I speak and say, I take my place in Christ and I exercise authority over these things that I have domain over and dominion over, right? What does the scripture say? Let's turn over here for a minute. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 and let's quickly look here. You know, when we talk about taking our rightful place, taking our dominion in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, and it's starting in verse 19. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of what? Of his power to usward who do what? Who believe. Do you believe? I believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and what? Every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things, what? Under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to who? The church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So if we have dominion, and this says here, and every name that is named, would that be anger? Would that be depression? Would that be anxiety? Oh, yeah, it would be. So we have dominion over it, and he gave that to the church, but we need to take our rightful dominion and our rightful place and do what? Exercise that dominion in the name of Jesus. You say, in Jesus' name, you leave my mind. You leave me. I exercise dominion in Christ. In his name. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, when those thoughts come, you keep the pressure on, as they say, in a sense. You know what I mean by that. So let's, you know, kind of summarizing this, let's look at just have these three points that I put down. Let's look at these three things that we've covered. We looked at Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 5. We've been redeemed and healed, and our emotions have been redeemed. So this includes what? Our spirit, our soul, and our body. And our emotions included have been redeemed. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your what? Your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've been redeemed. That's point one, we can say. And then the second, we were highlighting before, Jesus was tempted as we are, and he overcame what? Every obstacle in this world. He overcame every obstacle. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are without sin. And then let's turn over, this will be our third point, let's turn over to John 14, verse 27. John 14, verse 27. And actually, let's back up. He said, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So this, he's saying here, you have to choose to do this. You've got a choice to make here. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now let's go over to John 16, and let's look at verse 33. It says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me, you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulations. This will be trials and tests and things that we're confronted with. But be of what? Not a down face, not full of anxiety and despair. This said here, be of what? Good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. So when he said, in the world you shall have tribulation, if you just look it up, I mean, this, I'm not doing anything anybody else can't do here. You just look it up in a Greek Strong's Concordance. This word tribulation means pressure, oppression, affliction, tribulation, distress, difficulties, troubles, and problems. He said, you're going to have that, but be of good cheer. I have what? Overcome the world. So when he said, be of good cheer, it also said, that's what I like about this looking these words up. Cheer does mean to be of good cheer, but it also means be of good courage, but it also means have confidence. Be confident. That means if I have confidence, then I know He's overcome. Then, in other words, what does that mean? I have faith in him. If I have confidence in something or someone, I believe them. I have trust that he's done what he said he's done, right? And so I can have confidence in what he said. This is what he said. Jesus is saying here in this verse, he's saying we can have peace in this world. Why? Because he overcame. And he gave us his peace. So we can have that. So the question in all of this is, how do we activate, how do we bring or activate this kind of life and peace in our life? How do we activate the peace of God in our life? I think we have that from the scripture, right? How do we walk it out every day? How do we exercise this supernatural peace? And how do we overcome all of life's difficulties? How do we do that? Well, we saw that, number one, we saw it from Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God shall do what? It'll guard your heart and mind. So he's telling us we can have peace, but we've got to do something. We've got to exercise something. We've got to exercise faith, right? Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So that means I've got to put my mind on him. I can't put my mind on the problem, because if we meditate upon the problem, what does the scripture say? As a man thinketh, so is he. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it come the issues of life, or the boundaries or extremities. So we're to guard our hearts, and we're to not let our hearts be troubled. And that's what he said in John 14:27. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. So these times, and that's why I was taking the time to read that prophecy by Brother Hagin on Sunday, because the times that we're living in, you know, sometimes we think, oh my God, this God must not know what's going to happen 10 years from now. Yes, he does. This is 50 some years ago. What was it, 1963? He gave that word to Brother Hagin and said, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Evil, he said, read your text. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Deceived and being deceived. That's what the scripture says. But he said, read your text. He said, we're to look on things not seen. Look above. Look at your word. Look at the scripture and keep that in mind. Point is, be spiritually minded. Don't be carnal minded. Don't get caught up in all of these things that are going on. Be spiritually minded. You're gonna see a lot of things going on. That's why I like this prophetic word that was given. One of the things that he was saying here, which I thought was interesting, he said, you know, two things he said here. He said that he talked about a dark cloud coming upon this country. And he's talking about this. And he said, son, what is this thing that I see? And he said, what is the meaning of this? And he spake unto me and said, son, that is the darkness of atheistic communism that is sweeping across the nation, even in the minds of men in high places and politicians with great power. And this nation shall not grow more strong, and you shall not have more liberty than you have now, but liberties that you've known and you've seen shall be seized and taken from you. Well, don't we see that now? We certainly do. We see liberties taken away from us. But what God said here to him and revealed to him is he said, there's going to be a fire. His spirit is going to be shed abroad upon what? All men. And he's going to anoint men to go out. I mean, during Paul's time, they had stuff going on. So things are going to get worse. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The point in sharing all that wasn't to have us meditate on something negative, but something positive that, look, God's word, if we receive it and we act in faith, will activate the shalom of God, and we'll walk through some of these tribulations that will come upon other people, but it won't touch us. It won't bother us. We can bring what? The peace of God into people's lives. You know, just think about this. When it's the darkest, a little light shines so brightly. So when you got darkness coming upon people's minds and they're thinking, how are we gonna make it? And you bring in the shalom of God, the peace of God, and it's garrisoning about your heart and mind, and you're not troubled. You're not in despair, and you bring in peace into a setting, they'll know it's God. This isn't something you worked up. This is something that you've been exercising every day, every day, every day, every day. And so it won't catch you off guards. That's why when it talks about, let me show you a wise man, remember what Jesus said in the parable of the wise man? He said, let me show you a wise man who built his house upon a rock and dug down deep and built his foundation upon a rock. And when the storms came and beat against that house, it couldn't fall. So when these storms of life come and other people have built their houses upon sand, right? It says their houses were swept away. They couldn't withstand the things in life, right? So this is the time for us to do what? Make sure we're exercising the word. When something bothers us, don't feed into that. Don't water it. Don't water that with your emotions and more emotions. Say, oh, no. God's in me, And I rejoice that I overcome this with his power. I thank you that the shalom of God is working in me. Oh, yes. And we'll overcome and walk through these things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's turn over real quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Or actually, before you go there, let's go to 1 John 5:4. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 John 5:4. First John 5:4 says, whatsoever, well, we're talking about a child of God, whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcometh. That means you're an overcomer. That means you can overcome these emotions. Why? Because you've got God in you now. You've got his DNA and his nature. So when you say, well, I can't, then you're telling an untruth because you may just be ignorant of the word of God, but this says right here, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, what? Even our faith. The New Living Translation says, for every child of God defeats this evil world. I like the way that reads. And we achieve this victory through our faith. Every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. The Message translation says, every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. But this is plain. That's why I like these modern translations. It's plain. Every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. Hallelujah. Good News Translation says, every child of God is able to defeat the world. Man, I mean, that's as plain as you can get. You can't get any plainer than that. If you understand English, you got to know that's simple English, isn't it? Every child of God is able to defeat the world. And we win the victory over the world by the means of our faith. That's how we're going to conquer these emotions, conquer these fits of anger and all of these mood swings that people have. You can conquer the world's way by how? Exercising faith. And the shalom, the peace of God, will garrison our heart and mind. But we've got to do what the word said. We've got to think on those things which are true, lovely, and what? And a good report. Okay, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But look at verse 27. This is what I wanted to focus on. But I keep under who? Paul's saying, I keep under. He's not saying the Lord did it. He said, no, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. This is what we're talking about regarding our feelings and emotions and so forth. If we're running this race, we're going to have to keep this body under subjection. And it goes on, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong thing. Lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Listen to these other translations, a New Living. It says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should do. So that means when we've got to discipline ourselves and say, no, I'm not, I'm going to put down these thoughts. I'm going to put down these feelings of depression. I'm going to put down this anxiety feeling. I'm going to put it down, and I'm not going to allow it to stay. The Amplified translation of verse 27, it says, but like a boxer, I buffet my body, handle it roughly, discipline it by hardships, and subdue it. The Passion translation, it says, I train like a champion athlete, I subdue my body and get it under control. So the way we're going to do, so in summary, I guess we could say, the way we achieve victory over every emotional issue, what are we talking about? Anger, stress, depression, anxiety, worry, another big unforgiveness. The way we achieve the victory over that is how? Faith. It's going to be through our faith. What do we read? Every child of God. Let me reread that. 1 John 5:4. 1 John 5:4 said, the New Living, it said, every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. I like the Message, really. It says, every God-begotten person conquers the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. So when you look at all the lessons that we taught, the world's ways are to try to influence you to feel a certain way. Feel anxious about this. Get angry about this or get depressed about that. What am I going to do? And the world's ways sometimes come through other people's conversations. Sometimes it's what you hear, what you read. You know, the world's ways will try to make you conform to a certain way of thinking. And this is saying here, we overcome that. And that's why when we talked about identity and our identity in Christ, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Who do I identify with? What do I identify with? Do I identify with my problem, or do I identify with my redemption? If I identify with my redemption, then I can truly say I'm begotten of God and I overcome the world. I overcome these emotions and the world's way. I overcome. And as I do, as I release my faith, what is 2 Corinthians 4:13? We believe, and therefore we do what? Speak. So I've got to believe that when I release my words and I have faith in something that God told me to do, the power of God is released in my life. And I'm watering. Yeah, maybe you spent years, you know how people say, well, that's just the way I am, you know? Well, then get saved. Now, you may be saved, but then maybe the other is, maybe you need to renew your mind. You just need to renew your mind and realize who you really are in Christ. And that you're a brand new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. All things have become new. So we're brand new creatures. What does that mean? I'm redeemed from these emotions. You know, I think about, you know, when I first got born again, the very day that happened, you know, you've heard me say this, my mouth was like a sewer. You know, I cursed at everything. I'm serious. You know, I'm not joking about that, and I know you know I'm not joking about it, but I cursed at everything, and it was my adverbs, verbs, synonyms, everything. I had a four-letter vocabulary. And it wasn't good. But you know, when we talk about we can turn things on and off, I'll tell you, when I was home and I was in my parents' presence, oh yeah, I turned it off. Because I'd have been rearranged. And then some. Because I never heard my parents curse once when I grew up. Never. Not once. Not even a curse word. So it was not, it would have been out of place, and there would have been some, it'd been some hurting done on me if I had been cursing in the house. So you can turn it on and off, but it was there. And in the right setting with people where I was private, man, I cursed up a storm. But the day I got born again, and you heard me tell you this because it was so significant. I was under my sports car working. I whacked my hand on dump and skinned it. And I normally I'd have been curse. Nothing came out. And it arrested my attention so much that I went, what happened to me here? Something's going on. What happened? Because that day I had gotten saved. And I was like a fire down here. I mean, down in my spirit. I didn't know it was my spirit, but I was like, what's going on down here? It's like a fire. And so I didn't curse. And I began to notice that I didn't curse anymore. Spiritual. So, yeah, my spirit was changed, but my mind wasn't. And I had to be renewed. So things, you know, buttons will push you. Right? So now you might get upset, but you ain't cursing anymore. So one thing's good, I'm not cursing, but I sure was getting upset about things, right? So emotionally, you know, you need to find out who you are in Christ, that you've been redeemed from that. Then you got to do what? Begin to exercise your faith in this area to do what? Take control over your emotions. Because you've watered it so much, it's out of control. Well, now that we've gotten saved and our minds are being renewed on the Word of God, we need to water it with the Word of God and keep watering it. And at some point, and I'll tell you, it won't take long. You keep feeding on the Word and keep sowing the good Word in you, in your spirit. Keep acting on it. 6 months or a year, you'll turn around and go, man, I'm a different person. I don't fly off the handle anymore. I don't get upset. I'm serious. It will work. And that's what it said here. Every God person, every God-begotten child of God overcomes the world's ways. Oh, my goodness. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? So we thank God. Father, we thank you today. Thank you that we're redeemed. We're redeemed spirit, soul, and body. And we thank you that our spirits are brand new. And we thank you, Father, that as we take the Word of God and we act upon it, we meditate on it, we as you say in Joshua 1:8, we let not this book of the law depart out of our mouth, but we meditate on it day and night, that we may observe to do, that we'll make our way successful. We'll have good success in life. That means we'll have success in this area of our emotions, and we thank you for it, Father. We thank you that the shalom of God has been deposited when the Holy Spirit came into us. He brought in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faithfulness and faith and gentleness. And we thank you that he brought those in as we act upon the Word of God. We thank you that the peace of God is released in our lives, and we'll be carriers of the gospel of peace. We thank you for it. Thank you for expanding this in our hearts, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I trust that as we feed upon this more and more, it will literally change you in degrees. I believe it will. I really do. I believe the Word of God. I believe it will change our hearts and minds. And the peace of God, you know, I like, you know, the analogy. Pastor Sarah had an analogy. When the pressure's on and you squeeze a tube of toothpaste, what should come out? Shouldn't be anxiety and depression and fear and all of these things. It should be what? Peace. pressure puts a squeeze on me, the peace and shalom of God should come out, right? And so we thank God. Amen. Praise God.